Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I was wondering what the rattling sound was. It's okay. I'll just take it as applause. In the last few years, a new harbinger of spring has appeared on the shoulders of our lovely New Hampshire roadways. These days, in addition to the crocuses and the daffodils, in addition to the lengthening days and the sodden earth and the new buds on the trees, in addition to the small woodland creatures scurrying about in our rock walls and the robins hopping through our yards in search of the first worm, there is a new sight. I refer, of course, to the helicopter egg drop sign. Now, as Aristotle said, the secret of humor is surprise, I'm about to deliver a real clanger, because most of you have probably already driven past the church at least a couple times this week, which means that you've already seen the punchline of my little joke, which is that for me, I simply cannot read the words egg drop without hearing in my mind the word soup. It's just inevitable. For me, it's like seeing a bunch of signs everywhere that say, airplane grilled cheese. You just want to put the sandwich on the end. Or elevator pineapple upside down cake, right? It's just inevitable. It's just part of the rhythm of the language. And of course, when you put the word soup at the end of helicopter egg drop, the resulting image is just too delicious. I picture not a million eggs, but one immense egg about the size, say, of a U-Haul truck. Imagine James and the Giant Peach, right? Hauled in a net under a struggling helicopter, the egg is released from a great height into an Olympic-sized pool of creating a tsunami of steaming broth, right? And then, of course, a multitude of children would converge from all four directions, each of them holding one of those weird ceramic soup spoons that you get in Chinese restaurants, and they would all gleefully start supping on the monumental steaming appetizer. And then, yes, of course, the throng of children would relax for a while and wait for the fighter jet or the freight train to appear with the King Kong-sized vat of shrimp lo mein or the Godzilla-scale serving of General Tso's chicken, right? These fancies are so compelling to me that I have imagined myself wandering the byways of New Hampshire in the depths of the night with a felt magic marker in hand. Such are the dubious fantasies of a frustrated punster. But let me be clear, I would, of course, never do such a thing. And I will deny you three times before the cock crows if you take up the idea. Let it not be said, especially after my recent letter published in the Ledger Transcript, that I condone or promote any form of vandalism at all. So I have contented myself with using the one sign in all of creation over which I have legitimate claim, the United Church sign, to convey my peculiar Easter message. But what, you may ask, is your Easter message, Reverend Mark? It's a good question. I do intend to get to one. But if we started things off this morning on a peculiar tangent, allow me to remind you that I did not start this whole helicopter thing. I am the first to admit that the fact that we are gathered together in church this morning discussing helicopters on Easter morning is an odd state of affairs. To be sure, this state of affairs does not arise from any interpretation of Holy Scripture. Rather, this helicopter business impresses itself upon us as an opportunity to consider what Easter has come to mean in America in the year 2019. I don't need to remind you that helicopters did not exist in Judea in the first century AD. And while there certainly were chickens and eggs, neither the bird nor the egg had anything whatsoever to do with Easter. I'm going to sound a little bit like a killjoy, I suppose, when I suggest the obvious to you, which is that the Easter egg and the Easter bunny, and now also by extension the helicopter, are all ways that our society manages to deftly sidestep the real details of the Easter story, a story that does not easily conform to the pressing needs of free enterprise. Easter occupies a troubling place in the story of Jesus Christ. It is a story that does not lend itself to marketing. There are no unicorns, butterflies, or rainbows anywhere in sight. So it is perhaps not surprising that the producers of chocolate who need to fill the seasonal aisle at the Rite Aid and the supermarket circulars that need a cute mascot should create the Easter Bunny. And of course, if you want to attract thousands of kids to an event, it better not be one that fixates on the dark tale of Holy Week. If you want to attract a whole bunch of young people who have been weaned on things like Angry Bird and Fortnite, you don't want something that makes them think. You need something that makes them go, wow. You need a spectacle. Something exciting, something big, something dramatic. And what says dramatic, big, and exciting more than a helicopter? There can be no doubt that a helicopter is a spectacle. Now, I don't necessarily have a problem with spectacle. Spectacle has its value. It's fun and exciting. And just like anything else, it can be used for good as well as for bad purposes. The problem, though, with associating spectacle with religion is that spectacle does not like to share. It uses up all the air in the room. It exists for its own sake. The whole purpose of a spectacle is to impress you so much that everything else seems meaningless in comparison. If you go to see fireworks, you're probably not going to look at the moon. The fireworks demand all of your attention. A spectacle is a kind of demand. And this, dear friends, is where things get interesting. Because when you think about it, the way that Jesus Christ died was a kind of spectacle. The cross demands our attention. We can't look at anything else. If, as we affirm in our religious tradition, the man who died on the cross was also in some mysterious way divine, then the spectacle becomes even more demanding. God on the cross. It is an almost impossibly demanding notion, let alone a reality. And that God should be executed in this brutal way, and he should do it knowingly, in some way, as an expression of his love and compassion for us, this is almost unbearably demanding. The fact that this image has captivated a religious tradition for more than two millennia is a testimony to just how much this spectacle demands of us. And yet, lest you think our religion leaves us stranded with this spectacle, this painful, all-consuming demand, Easter is here to show us that no, he rose. We are not left with the spectacle. In the end, we are not left not with spectacle. We are left not with spectacle, but with narrative. A story that is not dead, but alive. A story that admits not only the eternity of Christ, but the participation of you and I. Christ has risen. He has risen indeed. Christ has risen and is rising whenever a hungry person is fed, whenever a thirsty person is given water. Christ has risen and is rising when a naked person is given clothes, whenever a prisoner is visited. Christ has risen and is rising whenever a stranger is welcomed. With his resurrection, we are no longer held in the suspension of a spectacle. Now we are sent out to become part of the story. We become part of this story of hope, this story of grace, the story of faith, the story of love, and the greatest of these is love. Amen.